And that means right now it is time to bring in Tim Luke and Greg Schramm, the appraisal guys, the frickin' frack of Nick and Knack. You can find them at tqag.com. That's Treasure Quest Appraisal Group, but right here on Robinhood Radio. Good morning, guys.
Good morning.
Well, good morning.
And how are both of you?
Good, thank you.
And is it warm down there? It's 21 degrees here right now.
Well, it is 65, actually, but we have a fog advisory. I took the dog out and said, I'm going to wait until after we do the interview and let the sun come up and bring it out. I couldn't see anything.
That's right. When fog rolls in, yeah, that's a smart thing to do. All right. Yeah. Well, anyways, well, we're expecting to get temperatures up to 60 as a high by maybe Friday again. So.
Oh, good.
Oh, this is kind of a rough time of the year up in that neck of the woods, because one day it can be freezing and the next day you can go, you know, sunbathe on the green.
It sucks. This time of year, really, it's just, you know, you just don't know how to dress. Not that I don't know how to dress anyway, but you don't know what to put on. So
anyways, for the weather.
Yeah. So right. So what is going on in the world of Tim Luke and Greg Schramm?
Well, just very quickly, let me update you a little bit on my cookbook project, which I'm doing for fundraising. You know, we do a lot of fundraising for organizations around the country, Housatonic River being one. And I decided that over the years, I've done a number of fundraising interactive dinners, wine dinners for organizations to raise money. And I've decided that to pay, just in gratitude, basically, to thank them for their support over the years for our business, I'm putting together a cookbook, which is all of the recipes I've ever used in the past 15 years to raise money for charitable organizations. And then I'm going to let them use it as a fundraising tool. So I'm about halfway through, and I must admit that I had no idea. It's not easy writing a cookbook. I thought, oh, yeah, let me just put this recipe in a book. It doesn't work that way.
No.
But I'm about halfway finished, and hope to have the rollout at the end of April or May. And we'll see how it goes. So you might be hearing more about that, especially as we're heading towards next year's Housatonic River event. So
now, what's it going to be called?
Oh, okay. the title of the book is called, it's going to be Cooking Isn't Rocket Science, .. Baking is chemistry.
Uh-huh. There you go. Uh-huh. There you go.
So it's a little saying that I came up with, because everybody says, oh, you know, you just throw in a little of this, a little of that. But that's why I'm saying cooking isn't rocket science. You can do that. But when it comes to baking, if it says a teaspoon of baking powder, you don't put in a teaspoon and a half of baking powder. Otherwise, you end up with the proverbial loaf growing out of the oven, as with Lucy and Ethel. So there's a lot of chemistry involved in baking, much more so than just regular just cooking. So that's hence the reason for the title, because I've made some horrendous blunders over the years by not following the recipe exactly as written for when it comes to baking. So live and learn. But I'm excited about that project.
Is it going to have your picture on the front cover?
No, I'm not. I'm going to have a dish, you know, I haven't chosen the cover picture yet, but I'm going to have some some dish on the cover. So.
Oh, you are a dish.
I was going to say that you stole my line.
I'm sorry. Yeah, I
walked, sorry.
I opened the you door. Did. I'm sorry.
Sorry, Marshall.
All right. Well, from one dish to another. What was it? Now he's got the, right. Now he's got the cookbook going on. What about you, Mr. Luke here?
Yeah, running around doing all kinds of appraisals. We actually have had several more people call us from 2008, clients from 2008, or it never ceases to amaze me that you do events and you do different things, and people hold on to your cards and like 10 years, 10, 11, 12 years. And so we've been busy with that and busy with doing appraisals, a number of both for insurance and financial planning, actually, fair market value for financial planning. So helping people understand the value of their things, but also on the auction front, there's been a number of sales that, like, we had the mid-season sales that have been going through in March, and we're getting closer to the May sales cycle when a number of artworks and a variety of things are coming up. But just last week, and Marshall, you may have had one of these, it was a machine man robot. It was one of the battery-operated tin lithograph. It's about 15 inches. It's called Machine Man. And what made this toy really special, and it was part of the robots that came out in the late 50s, early 1960s. There were a lot of battery-operated robot toys. And this particular one, a rare production piece, but what made it even more exceptional is that it was being sold, and it only had one owner. It was the gentleman who sold it. He received it as a 9-year-old child and kept it very... played with it, but gently, and then put it in the box, and it was in excellent condition. And it's rare to have just one owner of a piece like this and to have it in such amazing condition. It was estimated, I think, at $30,000 to $50,000, and it sold for $86,000 just because of all of the factors that went into that for that particular item, which is pretty cool. I know when I worked at Christie's, we would have robots in the sale. And if I could find these in their original box, the boxes were usually all tattered and you might just have the box lid or something to go with it. But to have this in its original box, I can understand why this would sell for so much. So interesting piece.
Well, another thing that sold, did you see, Tim, the Mario Brothers game?
No, I did not.
That sold at Heritage, and it was, oh. Yeah. I have never been a video game person, but I know, Tim, I know he likes Miss Pac-Man.
Yes.
But this Mario Brothers game is unopened. Had all of the original stickers on the box, and it was in pristine condition, just sold for $100,000 for a freaking video game. So,
what if you don't have the player?
I don't know, but I guess all of the people who lived in their mother's basements came out of the woodwork to buy this. So,
correct.
It was very successful at $100,000, and I'm not sure, but I think this is actually a world record for a video game sold at auction.
Yeah.
So
I think we're going to see more and more of those. I mean, as we approach, you know, it's hard to believe we're going to go into 2020 and you know, farther away from these older video games, which gave birth to all of these live action video games that we now just download from the cloud and just keep it in the cloud. And interesting.
I'm sorry. I just don't understand why somebody would buy a video game, keep it sealed, and then bring it out. This smells of somebody running across this, but I can't. You know, I'm not a collector, but I just, you know, if you buy something, use it, you know, enjoy it.
I know.
Well, if you remember when they started coming out with these, there were multiple and quick iterations of these, one after another. They just kept updating each one in the 80s. So I can understand why maybe something like this would come up because, if you were one of the people who had to have the most recent version to play, then you had the Nintendo set, well, of course you would, if it came out before you actually had a chance to open the one, then I can understand it. But what I feel, at least my research has kind of borne out, is that if you recall back in it's probably when we first started doing this show, there were a number of these games that were fetching high dollars at auctions, and just in general the auction market was a lot higher for these. And then of course, because a lot of the auction companies have now decided to go online as well and sell at auction, the market has really leveled out because a lot more has come out on the market. And I'm thinking that, and a lot of things were in very high prices, but now the things have to be so special in order to bring these record prices that's one of the reasons I think now that these things are making news headlines, is because 10 years ago, these were all over the news. And now, when something like this comes up and sells for a world record of $100,000, it really is news. So I think a lot has to do with where the market is in collectibles and pop culture at this point.
Well, but also
time.
The type of item, because also it comes down to the pristine condition and whether there's provenance or background. I mean, a lot of the things that we've talked about in the past, that also plays is in play here. And that's why they go to auction, and instead of just being sold on eBay, where there may be a number of them, but they're all used and in various conditions, where you go to the auction house and that's where a better provenance and a better condition and a better example, or a rare example like the robot as well, you know, that fits those things, because you can find these battery operated things on eBay all the time, but you go to a different level when it is of better condition and has all the pieces.
All right.
But you know, there's a collector for everything out there.
I'd like to know the people who bought this Mario Brothers game. It was a group of guys. They pooled their money and they bought it. So I want to know what day each of these people get this
share.
Game. You know, like Mondays, Wednesdays, Fridays, and then you can have it Tuesdays, Thursdays, and Saturdays. But I'm sorry. I just don't Marshall. I just don't get it. Well, I really don't get it.
My closing statement on this will be: is this is your mind on drugs? It's still $10,000 a piece if there's 10 of them, and obviously something wrong happened with them all.
Well, they have bragging rights.
That's right.
I said it before, they were probably living in their mother's basement until just recently. So
or bagging rights, one or the other. Well, all right, we are out of time, but I expect a signed copy of that book when it's finished, you know.
Oh, yes. Yes, absolutely. It'd be my pleasure.
All right, guys.
Okay, have a great week.
Have a great week.
Take care, guys.
Bye-bye. Take care. Bye.
Tim Luke and Greg Schramm, the appraisal guys of Frick and Frack of Nick and Knack with Appraise This. You'll find them at tqag.com on the web.